The Patriot and the Preacher, where politics and religion do mix, starts right now. Here are your hosts.
And welcome, everybody, to The Patriot and the Preacher. I'm your patriot, Mark Anthony.
And I'm your preacher, Ben Kinslow. And welcome once again to The Patriot and the Preacher program. And I am delighted to be on the show again today. You know why?
Why is that?
Because, as usual, we have some great guests on the program today.
We do. As a matter of fact, we do. And, you know, in honor of A Day Without Women, and International Women's Day, we have two very strong women joining us. And I know for a fact that they worked on Thursday, Ben. We asked them. They did. So we're really excited to have these ladies join us, along with a very well-known man that's a good friend of yours and mine. David Barton is going to join us, America's historian. So we have, let's see here. We've got, number one, who should we start with? We start with Sam Sorbo, a good friend of mine. Her and her husband, Ben, have teamed up to make this amazing movie called Let There Be Light. And I had the honor of seeing it screened at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and it's an amazing movie. I was really impressed.
Well, it's not out yet, though. It's going to be a little while before it comes out to the general public, but I understand it's worth waiting to see.
It definitely is. It's worth waiting to see, and I got to, you know, you're going to hear all about it from Sam. We're not going to give very much of it away, but Sam's going to give us kind of a sneak peek into what's coming around in the fall for the movie, and so we're glad to have her with us. We also have somebody joining us this first time on the show, but Megan Barth has made a name for herself. She is entertaining, right, Ben?
Yes, she is.
So she's going to join us. We're excited to have her on for the first time. She has a website called ReaganBabe.com. And
that's what I'm looking for. I wanted to see what she has to say, talking about, with all the stuff that's going on in America today, you know, we sometimes forget that America is based on transcendent principles that are designed to help everybody who properly exercises these principles. And I'm not talking about religious principles. I'm talking about principles, although they're in the Bible, they are principles that apply everywhere. They are correctly utilized.
You know, you're right about that, Ben, but I think that that's why there's so much strife right now within the United States, because we're trying to, as a government, and David's going to talk to us about that, we're trying to get back to those transcendent principles. That's where the resistance is coming from, isn't it?
Exactly. And people need to understand that what makes America great is the fact that it is founded on these principles, and because those principles were, and up to this point have been, properly applied, the result is America is unquestionably the greatest country on the face of the earth today. And if you don't believe that, you take a look at the number of people who are trying to get in and compare that to the number of people who are trying to get out of America.
Yes. And that, well, we've said this many times, right, Ben? That number, people are waiting to get in here. As a matter of fact, as we all know, a new executive order was just put out by President Trump. There's nobody trying to leave here right now. Everybody wants to stay.
Absolutely correct. And you know, one of the things we sometimes forget, when you look at the legal list of people waiting to come into America legally, according to our laws and principles, you'll find that there are some people who have been waiting for years to get into this country. And yet we're talking about letting millions of undocumented, I think they call them undocumented aliens. They are, what do they call it? Undocumented immigrants, right?
Right. That's what they're calling them now. But what are they really? What are they really?
Illegal aliens. Yes. Illegal aliens.
Yes, they are.
Isn't that the way it should be?
That's the way. Well, you see, but unfortunately, everything's being challenged right now. This lawless nature of everybody, where it doesn't matter what the law says or the Constitution says. That's not fair. We've got to be governed by a set of laws, or otherwise there's what? Chaos, right?
Absolutely. If you don't believe that, you know, you need to go back and look at history, what it was like before the transcendent principles that America is based on were handed down to a group of people called what we call the Jews nowadays. And those principles became the foundation stones of Western civilization. And if you don't believe they work, go to those countries where these principles are not in play, and then you decide which one of those places you'd rather live, in that civilization or in Western civilization.
The choice is yours. This is still the greatest country on earth. We have so much promise ahead of us, and we're excited that everybody's here to join us. It's going to be a great show. We have three amazing guests. We're excited to have them with us. So stick with us. You're going to enjoy the ride. I'm Mark Anthony, your patriot.
And I'm Ben Kinslow, your preacher, and we will be right back. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
You can call 800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And we are back with the Patriot and the Preacher. And Megan Barth is the founder and proprietor of ReaganBabe.com and a nationally recognized political commentator. Megan, you are not taking a day without women off, are you?
No, I'm actually celebrating that we have a day without feminists, which includes Palestinian terrorists, teachers' unions, abortion on demand activists, Communist Party USA, and Sharia sympathizers. So I say, hey, it's a day to celebrate. We don't have to listen to them, watch them, interact with them. They're marching in D.C. as well as across the country on the communists' behalf.
Well, wait a minute, Megan. You are a woman's advocate. Are you saying you're not for women's rights?
You know, I don't fall for the old canard that women are paid less than men. And I thought that Barack Obama was supposed to solve that problem by passing one of his first bills called the Lilly Ledbetter Act. It was supposed to, you know, create equal results and equal pay and equality for all women. And I guess he didn't do that good of a job.
I guess not. I guess he didn't. You know, the schools are being shut down in D.C. and North Carolina. And many people don't know that the woman that is organizing this day without women, she's a convicted terrorist.
Yeah. She's a convicted Palestinian terrorist who was involved in two bombings, not one, whereby she killed two Israeli students and also bombed, I believe it was a bank in London. And this woman is radical. She's actually an illegal alien. She lied on her immigration papers, which are now in appeal. So I say that the ICE pick her up at this march and deport her. But here's also, when you look at the sponsors and the funders of this march, if you go to their webpage, I think it's womensmarch.com or .org, you see a full cast of characters who are all anti-American in sentiment. The schools are closing down because the large teacher unions are also supporting and sponsoring this fancy website and this call to action, this march. And so, you know, the schools cave to, once again, the teachers' unions and the social justice warriors. And when you think about it like this, Mark, think about this. All of the teachers that have gone on strike today to march, what about the single mothers that now have to scramble to find daycare for their kids, or they have to take a day off of work in order to stay home with their kids because there's no school? How is this protecting single mothers and struggling families, especially under the last 8 years of the Barack Obama economy, the malaise that produced only 94% part-time jobs of all the jobs he created, as well as an anemic 1.9% GDP. People aren't working full-time jobs, especially single mothers, struggling families. And so how is this march benefiting not just the students, but also those families? It's not.
That was an unintended consequence of Obamacare, all these part-time jobs being created, right?
Oh, I don't think it was unintended. They knew exactly what they were doing by taking control of 1/6 of the economy. They relied on the stupidity of the American people, according to Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare. So when Obama took the dais, what was it, 26, 56 some odd times, and told the American people that they wouldn't lose their doctor and they wouldn't lose their insurance, he was knowingly lying to the American people.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
You know, Megan, I spent several years in the military, and I had a chance to spend some time in the Middle East. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's really like for people over there in the Middle East, the women especially?
Well, I can't say from firsthand experience, and I thank you very much for your service, but I can tell you the tenets of Sharia law. And when you look at one of the founders of the Women's March, whose name is Linda Sansour, who wears a hijab, which is subjugation, the covering up of women, especially in a burqa, she promotes Sharia law, which dictates that women do not have rights like men in the patriarchal society, which are found all along the Middle East. This political theology called Islam punishes women, subjugates women, and treats them worse than dogs. They cannot go to a doctor without a male escort. They cannot receive a diagnosis from a doctor without a male escort. They cannot drive. They cannot vote. They cannot receive education. If they claim rape, they can be stoned to death. This political ideology, Islam, is not feminine. It is not empowering to women. But I find that even the old and modern day feminist movement is empowered through victimization.
Yeah.
And this is why they've aligned themselves with Islam and the other victims of the political theology.
That is a great comparison, Megan, because they really don't understand. You know, Reagan said that if fascism ever came, it would be under the cloak of liberalism, right? And that's what we have going on right now. These women are marching under the direction of someone that actually is for Sharia law. They just don't get it, do they?
No, and I don't know that they want to get it. I just don't think that they're well-rounded enough or educated enough to get it. They believe the hype. They believe in the wage gap. They believe in gender equality simply because either they are communist in ideology, socialist Marxist in ideology, or they simply haven't taken enough time to study statistics, demographics, and results that are produced, resoundingly produced in our country. We are the most liberated free country, at least we were at one time, because of our constitution and the rights granted by our creator and protected by the constitution. Everyone has a fair shake in this country as protected by our constitution, but socialists and Marxists and people of those ilk believe in equal results. And that's the difference, meaning that let's say you start off at the 1 yard line in a race on a football field and everyone, you know, runs as fast as they can. Well, the winners and the producers are going to run faster and win the game. But that's not right, according to the socialists and Marxists. Everyone must finish at the same time. So what does that mean? That they hold back the producers, the fastest racers, and they hold them back in order to finish the same. And so there really isn't there isn't success. It's all equality in results. And what these women are vying for, again, is what, equal pay? Well, that's a complete misnomer, absolute complete misnomer, because when you look at the choices involved in how women choose their work, and when you take in all of those different variables, the difference isn't 22%. It's more like 6 cents. It's less than a percent.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want these statistics. They don't want these facts and figures because truth is the enemy of the ideologue, especially amongst this group.
Megan, really quick before we go, I wanted to get your take on this. When you see what's going on, all the revelations that are coming out about the spying and wiretapping, would you put it past Barack Obama to be wiretapping President Trump before the election and after?
Heck no. I mean, look at what the guy did to the political enemies that he had while he was president. He weaponized the agencies of the government, the bureaucrats within the government, in order to punish his political enemies and put them out of business. He used the IRS against the Tea Party. He used the DOJ against Gibson Guitars because the founder of Gibson Guitars was a Republican donor. He went after Catherine Engelbrecht with 5 different agencies, trying to shut down her personal and private business she had for 25 years because she started True the Vote in Houston. And the list goes on and on. He wiretapped, or the DOJ under his direction, wiretapped James Rosen and James Rosen's family, his parents. He was the most, he created basically an asymmetric assault using a variety of different agencies against the AP and the press. He was even sued by the AP because of what he did with wiretapping and such. And so this president, the largest political enemy of the DNC and this past president was Donald Trump. So why would he stop doing what he had done for 8 years, especially when you look at his last executive order, weeks before Trump came into office, maybe days, which expanded the amount of agencies allowed to share the information they had received under private conversations. He expanded it from one agency to 16. And it makes Donald Trump's job much more difficult in finding the moles, because the moles are spread throughout various agencies, specifically the intelligence agencies. And the leaks coming from these intelligence agencies are felonies.
That's...
And so Congress needs to start acting with the powers granted to them by the Constitution and start taking this very seriously in order to protect our constitutional rights, our First Amendment, our Fourth Amendment, our Fifth Amendment, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Because this illegal search and seizure will continue against maybe even folks like me or you that speak out against a political party.
Yeah.
What would you say to women in America who are sitting here saying, maybe I can't do something because I'm a woman?
Well, I would say to the women, amazing things can happen if you choose not to be a miserable sow. everyone can go to ReaganBabe.com. It used to be ReaganBaby.com, but it was seized, and that's a whole other story. ReaganBabe.com. They can find me on Facebook on my Reagan Baby fan page and on Twitter at Reagan_Baby. I just released during CPAC an article on ITIN, which is the individual tax identification number used by illegal aliens to claim refunds. It will blow your mind. It is an IRS tax fraud scheme given to illegal aliens whereby they only have to earn $3,000 a year in income in order to claim $20,000 in refunds, because they can claim 20 dependents that do not have to prove that they live in the United States or that they even exist if the dependents are from Mexico and Canada. It's an absolute fraud scheme that every American citizen, every taxpayer needs to know. And
wow.
At ReaganBabe.com. ITIN is a tax number given to illegal aliens because they don't have Social Security numbers. And Barack Obama put this program on steroids and created more refunds given to aliens who don't even reside in this country or prove that they have to exist. To the tune of $14.2 billion was paid out over 9 years and up to 2010. So just imagine, with the open borders policy of Barack Obama, how this program has completely expanded, where all of our taxpayer dollars are going to non-citizens.
Wow. We're going to have you back on so we can talk more about that. Megan Barth, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
For joining us. It was great to have you.
Thank you, Mark. It was great to be here. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is The Patriot and the Preacher Show. That was Megan Barth. You can find more about her at ReaganBabe.com. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, it's Mark Anthony, and we want to let you know about PureFlix.com. It is a wonderful streaming video service that features faith and family movies, television shows, documentaries, and lots more. And the best part is you can watch the shows anytime, anywhere, on your phone, tablet, or laptop. PureFlix.com is currently offering our listeners a free one-month trial subscription. We've checked it out, and you should too. If you're looking for a wholesome alternative to cable television or some of the other video streaming services, PureFlix.com is just the ticket. Sign up today by going to thepatriotandpreachershow.com and click on the PureFlix banner ad. That's thepatriotandpreachershow.com and click on that PureFlix banner ad.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
You can call 800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hello, friend. This is Pat Boone, and like you, I put at the top of my priority list things I want to do and not miss the radio show that Mark Anthony and Ben Kinchlow do called The Patriot and the Preacher. And if you're not listening to it regularly, you're missing out. And I strongly recommend that you make it an item at the top of your list of priorities.
Well, I was born an original sinner. I was born from original sin. And if I had a dollar bill for all the things I've done, there'd be a mountain of money piled up to my chin.
And we're back with The Patriot, the Preacher. Joining us today is a good friend of ours and the show, David Barton. David, thanks for coming back on.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. I saw you at NRB. And, David, you know, you mentioned that you are working with the president right now pretty closely on a religious liberty bill. Tell the listeners as much as you can about that.
Well, there's actually a bunch going on, not just the president, but also the House and the Senate. And we have a bunch of folks in all three of those areas that are willing to move forward a lot of things on religious liberty. Part of it is in response to his promises, for example, to get rid of the Johnson Amendment out of the IRS code that keeps pastors from being able to say what they want to say, which is ironic. Everybody else, the 501c3 can, unions can, everybody else can, but preachers can't. So working on that, there will be some attempts made this year, but I think next year is when you'll see the real way means come through. And part of this is based on what can you get done in a situation where that there's no Democrat in the Senate that's going to go along with this, and how do you get it done with 51 votes instead of 60 votes? And so that changes your tactics a whole lot. You can introduce bills, as we've already done this year. You have folks like James Lankford over in the Senate who's carrying the bill, and Jody Hyas over in the House, but it's not going to get through the Senate because it'll take 60 votes. So how do you do it with budget reconciliation, or how do you use it with other means that they have at their disposal? And that's part of the strategy of what's going on. So he has things that he can do with executive order. He's getting ready to release that executive order on religious liberties, which will be a huge help. Protect conscience, protect Little Sisters of the Poor, protect Hobby Lobby type groups. That will be a massive help. So that's coming. There's also stuff coming through the House and Senate that they can do on their side through just budget reconciliation as a matter of funding what they can and can't fund. There'll be religious liberty type displays and type promotions that will come through the House and the Senate that they can do with 51 votes. So there really is a lot going on right now that is very favorable, very helpful. I was in D.C. last week, and there's one particular project we've been working on for 16 and a half years, and it now looks like it's going to happen 16 and a half years later. And so it is amazing, the new climate in D.C. and the new aggressiveness to do some things, particularly with religious liberties.
Let me ask you this, David, because you know we're going to hear the argument about this is a violation of the First Amendment. Congress should make no law respecting the establishment of religion. How are you going to handle the fact that people are going to try to say that now Trump's trying to, quote, do establishment of religion thing here?
You know, Ben, that's one of the funniest arguments I've heard in forever. There's a bunch of articles that have come out recently claiming that Trump is a theocrat. Now, that's funny because all throughout the campaign, you know, this is a not religious guy, and all the Christians were saying, oh, you can't vote for this guy, he's not religious, and now he's a theocrat. And so it really is funny in the sense that, all right, they had a prayer meeting with Neil Gorsuch, you know, Scalia's son, that blessed him and prayed for him, and then you have our Melania that does the Lord's Prayer. And then he's doing this executive order on religion, and he gets six guys to pray at the inauguration. So now he's a theocrat. And it's kind of funny because the guy's writing articles about how this is a theocracy. You look it up, and it's impossible to have a theocracy if you have elections. So these guys are so apoplectic, they don't even care what words mean. They're just going to express themselves. And we were recently in Tim especially was up in Pennsylvania, and we were speaking at the introduction of a great guy there, Rick Saccone, who's running for U.S. Senate there. And they had protest flags out. And one of the groups there was an atheist group, because Rick is the guy who was really pushing the In God We Trust 60th anniversary, and just a terrific, terrific legislator. And so they were this atheist, and we engaged them afterwards and talking to them. One of them had this big sign that says, I support the First Amendment, separation of church and state. And so Tim went up to her and said, hey, you know, what is it you support? Well, I support the First Amendment, separation of church and state. And is that in the First Amendment? She says, well, I've never read the First Amendment, but I know it's there. It's like, exactly, exactly. Go read the First Amendment and your sign becomes ridiculous. And so that's where this stuff really is. And that's actually one of the things that I think you'll see happen in Congress coming through. They're taking some pretty aggressive measures to help kind of re-educate the nation on what separation of church and state really means, and how that the presence of religion or religious activities or religious expression does not violate separation of church and state. So you're going to see some pretty big pushback in a way that won't necessarily make huge policy differences, but it will make huge educational differences and huge differences in textbooks and what kids are taught about separation of church and state. And that would be a long-term blessing.
Well, Davis, give us a quick breakdown from your perspective on what that means. So somebody can say, well, this doesn't violate the First Amendment. Give us that quick separation of church and state thing.
Well, if you want to take separation of church and state, the Bible is absolutely for it. When God established government and all the institutions, he put Moses over civil affairs and he put Aaron over spiritual affairs. And in 2 Chronicles 26, when King Uzziah tried to do both of them, he tried to become a king and a priest. God struck him down and said, no way. And so God made this very clear. That's the way it was. So 391 AD, when Emperor Theodosius said, I'm the emperor, and by the way, I'm going to decree a world religion, and here's the deal. You're all going to become Christians or I'm going to kill you. And so at that point, you have the first state-established Christian church. For the next 1,200 years, it was the government that ran the church, told you what your theology would be, told you exactly what church you had to belong to. And then as you get into the Reformation, this is where it starts affecting America, because you get guys like William Penn who are thrown in jail because they go to the wrong denomination. It's not that they're not going to church. They go to the wrong denomination.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same thing with the Pilgrims and Puritans. And so that's what state-established religions were doing. So when they came to America, they separated church and state, said, we're not separating God out of either. But the Pilgrims landed. They started having annual elections for their church leaders and annual elections for their state leaders. And the state was no longer to tell the church what it could and couldn't do and what doctrines it had to have. And that became separation of church and state the right way. You don't let the government stop religious activities. And that's what they were doing. So when the First Amendment was written, it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The only entity limited by the First Amendment is Congress. Congress
right.
can't do anything to set up a national denomination, and it can't do anything to stop religious activities. And somehow today, Congress making a law means a kid saying God at graduation, or Hobby Lobby saying we're not going to fund abortion. Yeah, that's stupid. The language is not even there. Congress means a kid, and Congress means a nativity scene. Are you kidding?
No way.
And so that's where
no.
it's gone. So
yeah.
it's so far out of way. So
no, really, it really is. And you know, you made a great point at NRB, David, that who influenced our founders would surprise a lot of people. Who influenced them the most? Who gave them the courage and the motivation to do the impossible, David?
Pastors.
Yeah.
Pastors had the backbone, and pastors were the ones who stood up. And you'll find that in the American Revolution, the highest attrition rate per any group was pastors. That's who the British targeted. They went after pastors because those guys wouldn't shut up, and they wouldn't sit down, and they wouldn't just go along with all the stuff. They were the ones out in front of the military groups. They were the ones writing the pamphlets. They were the ones preaching from the pulpit and keeping the people fired up. And today, they've really gone silent. But back in the day, had it not been for the pastors, and the British said, if it hadn't been for those pastors, America would still be a happy British colony. it was the pastors they blamed, but that's not the case today, and it needs to be.
No, I agree. Wait, I just want to ask you this, David, because you know, you and many other pastors, that circle that the president has around him, you've had the chance to spend a lot of time with him. So what's your impression of President Trump at this point right now?
When I went to the primary, I was running Super PAC for a different candidate. So
right.
Trump was not top of my list. He was way at the bottom of my list, quite
mm-hmm.
frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was after he became the nominee, my great hope was that he's not going to be political. He's going to use a business metric. That is, he's going to find the absolute best guys, get out of their way, and let them do it. And that's what we've seen even with what happened with General Flynn and now McMaster's. Flynn went in and built the National Security Council the way he wanted it. McMaster's had come in and torn all of Flynn's stuff down and said, no, I want it differently. So you're finding that he's finding the best people, putting them in charge, and that's why he's been successful for so long, and that's why things are moving so rapidly. But I am amazed. I don't think anyone would have predicted this. Out of the 19 folks that are cabinet-level appointments, 10 of them are evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you would have got that even from our evangelical candidates. I think the best description I've heard of Trump, Hillary, and the campaign was, it was really a contest between Samson and Jezebel. And that is Samson didn't have the best morals in the world, but he was willing to fight for God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we've seen with Trump is, all right, his personal morals may not have been where we wanted, but you know what? By gosh, he's been fighting for us in a way that we haven't seen a president. You know, Reagan probably would have. He just didn't have these kind of issues to fight for. But this guy has gone out there and done that. And I have to say, he is such an oxymoronic paradox from what was expected, is that when you're around him, he listens intensely, very well. He's very focused. He's very quiet. He's not blustery. He is a very humble person in private. You go, wow, that's not what I've ever seen. And so I will tell you that I'm super pleasantly surprised. I'm thrilled with what he's doing. You know, I think his spiritual walk is starting to grow because of the people he has around him. We'll see what happens. You know, how that develops once you become president, it's really hard to keep spiritual life going. Found that out with President George W. Bush and others who had great Bible studies and great times with the Lord. And then you just get so busy with so many things, 20-hour days, it just becomes hard to maintain. So, you know, hopefully Trump can keep on the journey that he started. But I'm really, really pleased with what I see, and it was so much more than what I ever anticipated. But he has become that business guy that's making the right decisions, putting the best people in there, and then getting out of their way and letting them do it.
Hey, David, we really appreciate you hopping on and joining us again. It's always good to have you on. We can listen to you all day. Now, where do listeners go to get your latest?
If they go to wallbuilders.com, right there on the front page, we have the latest articles up, latest news stories, and all the latest stuff going on.
Very good. David Barton, always good to have you on, my friend. God bless you, brother.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Ben. Love you guys. Bless
our
you.
Our privilege. See you next time, right?
Look forward to it.
All righty. All right, brother. This is The Patriot and the Preacher. That was David Barton, America's historian, and we will be right back. Hey everyone, it's Mark Anthony. I know I keep talking about MyPillow, but that's because it's truly changed my life. I've had over 7 spinal surgeries on my neck and back, and I've never been able to get a good night's sleep. But now, after trying MyPillow, I am getting the best night's sleep I've ever had before. Trust me, MyPillow has made a believer out of me. Now, you may say, what makes MyPillow so great? Well, MyPillow lets you adjust it to your exact needs, regardless of your sleep position, and it stays that way all night long. Look, this company has a 10-year warranty guaranteed not to go flat, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think about it. MyPillow has an amazing offer for our listeners. If you call 1-800-519-2222 and use the promo code MARK, you can take advantage of Mike's 4-pack special. You'll get 40% off of 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 Go Anywhere pillows. It's an amazing deal. And on top of that, you get free shipping of any order over $100. Call right now, 800-519-2222, and use the promo code MARK. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain with the 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Trust me, MyPillow will make a believer out of you.
And you know that jingle.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't forget to call 1-800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed.
Welcome back to The Patriot and the Preacher. Joining us today is a good friend of mine, good friend of the show, Sam Sorbo. Sam, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you. Now, last week I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I was fortunate enough to see the screening of your brand new movie, Let There Be Light. So I just want to let the audience know what I told you before we scheduled this interview, that it was an amazing movie that was both, it made you laugh, it made you cry, and it really touched my heart. It was you guys did an amazing job.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited about this movie. I'm really excited for people to be moved. And we say it makes you want to laugh and cry and stand up and cheer. And I think it accomplishes that. So I'm very excited. It won't be out until Christmas. It's a Christmas movie, so we'll be coming out around Thanksgiving of this year, but we are very excited. We were very excited to launch it at the NRB. We're just launching basically the PR campaign. So your listeners can go to letthereBeLightTheMovie.com or go to the Facebook page, and I'm collecting likes there, and it's great to have people like sign up, and you can sign up and get updates on what's happening with the movie. We're very excited about it.
Very good.
Oh, great. Let me ask you, what is the idea behind the movie? You said the idea hit you. What were you talking to? What were you thinking?
So the idea came to me that it would be interesting to see what would happen if a renowned atheist, say the world's greatest atheist, had a near-death experience and was convinced of the existence of God and the supernatural, basically, right? And so that's what we did. We took an atheist. He has a near-death experience. He comes back and he's forever changed. And then he has to reapproach life and reexamine his faith, basically.
Hmm. And that atheist, by the way, so the audience knows, is your husband Kevin. Is right.
Right.
And he does an amazing job.
He's just playing an atheist, right? He's just playing an atheist, right?
He's not typecasting.
No.
Okay.
So that, and it's really, you're right. It's an amazing journey watching him have this near-death experience. And we're not going to give away what's in the movie. But I think that a lot of people will be able to relate that. I think a lot of people have in their life somebody they've been praying right into the kingdom. So I think a lot of people will be able to relate to this, don't you think?
Yeah, and there's also the whole thing of, you know, everybody knows somebody who's... This is the fundamental question that we have as human beings. We're alive, and where do we go when we die, and what happens? And so this movie touches on that, and it's a very hopeful film. I know that I've had so many people come up to me after the movie and since showing the movie and comment on how uplifting it was to examine that and get this idea that that there is hope, which is the message of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, the truth of the matter is, you said something very interesting. I read in an article about you. It says that this atheist questions his faith in atheism, because we all have faith in something, don't we?
Oh, well, if you look in even Wikipedia, the three largest faiths are Christianity, then comes Islam, and then the third largest faith, they used to call it atheism/agnosticism, but they've stopped that now. They're calling it irreligion. So it's the faith in no religion. That's the faith, and it is practiced today, and it's inextricably linked, I would tell you, with a political agenda called socialism.
Right. That's right. Oh. And we've talked about that many times on this show, and Sam, I remember a while ago when you came up with this idea, you were telling me that you wanted to proselytize the way that ISIS does. Isn't that what you said?
That's right.
Yeah. So.
You know what? And it's funny, because the idea for this movie came to me and then it developed further, right? But the idea behind it became, you cannot defeat an ideology of evil without a competing ideology. And the competing ideology of I don't know and I don't care isn't going to work. You have to have a competing ideology of good, of love, love to combat hatred, mm-hmm. light to combat the darkness. This world is becoming enveloped in this darkness, and there's only one way out, and that's the light. And that's why the name of the movie is Let There Be Light.
Right.
So since you're not an atheist and your husband is an atheist, where did you get the lifestyle or the information or that?
So my husband has a great answer for this question. He says, I take a Christian and then I remove all accountability and common sense. Which is basically the Jack Nicholson line from As Good As It Gets.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
It's not that hard, because atheists are very firm in their belief.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, and
it's
say
just
that again.
That they believe things that aren't so.
But you know, you just said the magic word. You said belief, and that's exactly what you have to do. Is on anything, and you got to believe something, right, or nothing.
That's right. And this is why. So you know that my passion, or I suppose one of my passions now, is home education. This is why I just don't understand Christian parents who send their children into the school system that lies to these kids with this horrible lie of evolution, telling them that they are nothing but chance happenings, and that survival of the fittest is the way of the world, which is an awful message. Because if you believe in survival of the fittest, then give me a good argument against ISIS.
Yeah, that's a great
exactly.
point. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, what many listeners may not know is that you partnered with somebody that's very well known as well. Your executive producer is Sean Hannity, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a good story in itself, is how you got not just Sean Hannity, but then tell them about the screenwriter that is well known as well.
Yeah.
This all came together in such an amazing way.
It is. It's fairly miraculous, but of course that's the way God works. So I had this idea for a movie, and I knew that I couldn't. I'm nobody really, you know. I can't get a movie off the ground by myself, and so I called a friend who's a screenwriter who I happen to know and said, hey, would you consider writing a movie with me? And of course he said no, because he's a really well-known screenwriter and his screenplays sell for over $1 million. and he doesn't need me, right?
Right.
But he said, hey, Sam, I haven't seen you for a while, so let's go have lunch. And after lunch, he asked me to tell him my pitch, and I told him, and I sold him right there. And mm-hmm. he said, I'm in. We'll do this. He had a very strong opinion about that right from the beginning. So he was in. And I tell you something, within 2 weeks of making a deal with him, Sean Hannity called my husband up out of the blue and said, I think I want to get into movie production with you. And I looked at Kevin and I said, okay, that's my movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin was like, I think you're right. It was just too weird and uncanny. We flew to New York. The three of us sat in Sean's office with him, pitched him the movie in half an hour, and he was in, which is just not heard of. And then all of a sudden we were producing this film. I mean, it's just been an amazing thing.
Wow. Wow.
Well, that's how God does stuff, isn't it?
That is. I'll tell you. You know, we are called to step out in faith. Mm-hmm. And I've been on such an amazing... When I finally reconciled myself to that, and I started listening for the messages, and I was getting messages, and I was being told to do things, you know, in mm-hmm. odd ways, I just went, okay, God, you know what? I'm just going to step out in faith. We have to lose the sense of fear that we've been indoctrinated with. And I tell you, I talk to parents all the time who are too afraid to homeschool their kids, and it's the fear that's been put into them from our public school systems. And I tell you, honestly, if you are afraid to homeschool your child, do not send them back into the system that turned out the likes of you.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. So, and I do remember talking to you as you were going through this journey and all these things were happening, and you and Kevin really did step out, because this is not something that a Hollywood couple, and you guys aren't a regular Hollywood couple, would go and do. And so do you feel like you and Kevin, this is one of your purposes to have done this together as a couple?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we had a blast doing it. And the kids are in the movie, too, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, wow, you cast your children? I'm like, they were the cheapest. They were so inexpensive.
And you didn't have to follow the child labor laws, right? They were your kids.
You know what gets me? Michael Francisi is in this film.
Right.
And he's an amazing, I don't know if you know him, but you saw the movie. So that's his real story in the movie. And it's an amazing story of transformation and
mm-hmm,
redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And between Michael and my two boys, it's like Kevin and I aren't even in the film. They say never act with children or animals. And I'll tell you, it's true, because the three of those guys totally steal the movie from us. It's funny.
Actually, you're right. They do. It's really amazing. It's true. And Michael, Mike, I didn't know that was his true story, and that makes it even more amazing.
That's interesting. Do you know the serial number that he gives in the movie is for real?
Really? Wow.
Yes, really. So, yeah.
Hmm.
I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, we're not gonna look up Michael Francisi, you'll know who he is, and he's an amazing guy. So that was another little perk that just worked in the movie. We wrote the part for him, and then he agreed to play it. It was just amazing. The whole experience has been amazing, and the miracles that happened on set, just the stories of people who were involved in this movie, and the coming together that happened with the people involved in the movie. And I'm actually working on, I'm writing a book, and Kevin and I are writing our next book, and we're putting stories from the movie in the book because they're so astounding. The way that we found one of the locations was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're out looking for locations and we're not finding the house, and we're looking for Katie's house, and it's got to be the right thing. And we're in Birmingham. We're looking for a Connecticut house. It's got to look like Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And we had looked for 3 days, and it was the end of the third day. We're all tired. We're about ready to pack it in. And I'm driving, and I get to a stoplight, and I look down the street to the left, and I'm like, hey guys, do you mind if I just head down that way just to take a peek? And they're like, oh, Sam, okay, go ahead. So I drive down there, and we come out on this beautiful Connecticut street. Like, it's perfect. It's idyllic.
Mm-hmm.
We stop the car. We see a house that is ideal. And we go, you know, I grab Kevin. I go, come on, Kevin, we're going to go knock on the door. And he's shy. He's like, really? You want to knock on the door? I'm like, that's the only way to get this done.
Right.
We knock on the door, and the woman that greets us has so much skepticism in her. It was funny. She put on a whole show for us. She leaned out. She's like, so y'all want to see my house? Y'all are from Hollywood. Do you all do drugs? And then she leans. She's like, y'all want to see the house? I'm like, sure, we'd love to. She's like, well, you can come in. And she yells out the door to her gardener who's in front. You know, I can't remember his name, but Tom, you stick around. I don't know if these Hollywood people are here to rape me or what. And she was hilarious. And, you know, she allowed us to film in her house. And I asked her later why. She said to me, if God saw fit to bring you to my doorstep, who am I to say no?
Wow.
I mean, it's a beautiful, wow. It's a beautiful thing. This wow. whole movie was an amazing thing. So,
sounds
but
like
I'm doing publicity for the movie like months in advance. This is, it's almost silly. But go to the Facebook page, like the Facebook page. Do me a favor and do that. It's called Let There Be Light, the movie. And yeah, I need followers on Facebook right now. We just started the campaign, so.
Hey, Sam, thanks for coming on to give us a sneak preview of what you guys have been up to. It's always good to talk to you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Fun Wait, to see before you go, the NRP.
Before you go, I've got to ask you one last question.
Sure.
This is not a religious movie, is it?
Actually, it is. And in fact, I prefer not to call it a faith-based movie because every movie is a faith-based movie.
Yeah, everybody
and
believes
so. We are fooling ourselves if we think they're not. Just the same as in our schools. When we took Christianity out of schools, we didn't take religion out of schools. We took Christianity out and we replaced it with secular humanism or what they now call irreligion.
So this is not about religion. This is not about religion. It's reality, right?
It's a Christian film. It is important to understand that your religion is your worldview. It informs everything you do. Okay. You cannot separate your religion from what you do because every decision you make is based on whatever morality you subscribe to.
That's right. That's a very good
point.
So
every movie is a faith-based movie.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the faith of who produced or who, you know, directed the movie. That's why, they, you know, Noah was supposed to be, quote, faith-based. It was directed by an atheist, and it had a lot of that sort of secular humanist tendencies in it, and it wasn't really the true story of the story of Noah in the Bible. It was more like Transformers meets Waterworld, because that was the faith
true.
Of the director.
That's right. That's right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, we can't wait to see it again. And we'll get the audience onto your Facebook page. And it's always good
Thank
to have you on. Congratulations again.
Thank you so much for tracking me down. This was fun. We'll do it again.
All right. Thanks, Sam. This is The Patriot and the Preacher. We'll be right back. That was my good friend, Sam Sorbo. Hey everyone, it's Mark Anthony. I know I keep talking about MyPillow, but that's because it's truly changed my life. I've had over 7 spinal surgeries on my neck and back, and I've never been able to get a good night's sleep. But now, after trying MyPillow, I am getting the best night's sleep I've ever had before. Trust me, MyPillow has made a believer out of me. Now you may say, what makes MyPillow so great? Well, MyPillow lets you adjust it to your exact needs, regardless of your sleep position, and it stays that way all night long. Look, this company has a 10-year warranty guaranteed not to go flat, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Think about it. MyPillow has an amazing offer for our listeners. If you call 1-800-519-2222 and use the promo code MARK, you can take advantage of Mike's 4-pack special. You'll get 40% off of 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 Go Anywhere pillows. It's an amazing deal. And on top of that, you get free shipping of any order over $100. Call right now, 800-519-2222, and use the promo code MARK. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain with the 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Trust me, MyPillow will make a believer out of you. And you know that jingle.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Don't forget to call 1-800-519-2222 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code MARK.
And I'm proud to be an American.
And we're back with The Patriot and the Preacher. You know, Ben, I wanted to bring up an interesting point. You and the audience probably won't be surprised to hear this, but do you want to guess who gave over $246 million to fund the Day Without Women March?
It wouldn't be a certain billionaire who has given millions of dollars to other causes very similar to that, would it be?
It would be that billionaire, George Soros, who's behind, let's see, the Center for American Progress, Open Society. He gave millions of dollars to the ACLU and Planned Parenthood. That's right. Can you believe this? He gave a quarter of $1 billion to fund that march, Ben.
Maybe he's got ulterior motives, but that wouldn't be fair for me to accuse him of that, would it?
Well, you know what? It is fair because every one of his organizations that he has, that he puts so many layers behind so that you've got to dig deep to find out who's really behind it, they're all about socialism. They're all about the things that are the antithesis of what makes this country great, Ben. It really is.
Can you give people a quick definition when you talk about socialism, what you're talking about?
Well, let's see. What we're talking about with socialism is that Megan gave a great definition, didn't she? In the race. Remember that analogy she gave? So everybody starts in the race, but in socialism, everybody gets to finish at the same time. There's no reason to work hard. The government oversees everything, and you are not in charge of your own destiny. How's that?
That's exactly right. And that's what these people are trying to do to America, because America's founded on the principle that individual effort should be rewarded. And that's why people come to this country, so they can apply themselves and get rewarded for it. Those countries where socialism exists, you don't find anybody struggling to get into those countries, because that's not how people enjoy life, just living so they can be, quote, equal to everybody else. And that is not what the American society is built upon.
No, it isn't. And so when you hear life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that does not equal socialism. And we know it's one step away from communism. That's what history shows. And going back to that, right, Ben, David Barton pointed out two things that are important. I just wanted to highlight. Number one, David Barton pointed out that the people that inspired the greatest men, our founders, to do the impossible were who? The preachers. And another thing, the reason that we're having so much chaos right now and so many people unsure of where America should go in a direction is because most people don't have a full understanding of history. Because if they did, they would not be out on those marches, marching around for things that are the antithesis of what we stand for. For instance, as we brought it up, the fact that somebody that organized this march, aside from George Soros, promotes Sharia law, and you've got women walking around marching for women's rights. That's an oxymoron.
That's a lot of morons.
That's a lot of morons. Hey, so speaking of, I thought, you know, we didn't have a news segment. We had Megan really be our news segment. But I thought before we go, I wanted to, there's a Democrat that is running. Her name is Brianna Wu. She's a game developer, and she's running for Congress in Massachusetts. So speaking of morons, this is really a tweet from her that she put out on February 28th. The moon is probably the most tactically valuable military ground for Earth. Listen to this. Rocks dropped from there have the power of hundreds of nuclear bombs.
Wow. So what she's saying is we should go land on the moon and throw rocks at Earth?
Gosh, what do you think? Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi are going to just embrace this woman should she win in Congress. By the way, this woman, Brianna Wu, had somebody respond to her tweet, dropped. And here was her response. Dropped into our giant planetary gravity. Well, that multiplies the kinetic energy.
We wouldn't have to build it. We have to drill in more oil wells. We could go with kinetic energy.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, okay. So
did not read somewhere profess themselves to be wise, they became fools or something like that.
That's unbelievable. I can't even. And you know what? She probably will win she'll probably win the primary, Ben. We're going to have to watch that race. Let's watch that race. We want to thank everybody for joining us. We're excited to say that Star Parker will be joining us and the Benham Brothers, world famous guys out there from HDTV. And as we always do, we're going to dedicate this show to God and pray for our nation and our listeners. Ben?
We do indeed. And Father, we come with great gratitude for the privilege and the honor of being born in America. And we pray for your wisdom, for your insight, for understanding. We pray for the leaders of our country, that they will see what is necessary to ensure that America continues along the path of greatness that was established by the principles that our founding fathers adhered to. We hold these principles to be self-evident, that all men are created. And we want to make sure we understand that. We are not the products of evolution. We are the products of your divine mercy and love, and we are made in your image, and we thank you for that. And we ask for your continued guidance and presence in our lives. Totally, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us. It is an honor to have you all with us. We will be back next week with another great show. Right, Ben?
You got it, man. And thanks for joining us. I'm Ben Kinsler, your preacher.
And I'm Mark Anthony, your patriot. We'll see you next week.